You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What would Marty say about the Onyx restaurant taking the family there?
Yeah, not a fan. Mm-hmm. I don't think my children are fans of strip clubs, but, you know.
My doctor buddy says, tell Lance we're getting less than 1% positive tests in our area with 2 months of testing.
Cool. I'll tell you that my good friend who's a nurse who's in the – I'm not even going to say it, but she's dealing with a lot right now. So
yeah.
Before we go crapping on nothing's happening, that's not – I've got a good friend who is in there dealing with a lot of stuff right now. And she said it's busy. She got a brand new 1,000 yesterday.
She got a brand new what?
It is what it is. I mean, brand new 1,000 patients were just yesterday in Houston, but it's going to happen. I mean, I'm just going to try to stay safe and make sure my family's safe. That's all.
Yeah. No. I mean,
you're going to have to get through it.
But
people
we haven't had it.
Get sick. There will be some people dying. It is what it is. And then hopefully we get through
it. Death rate update lately, though. That's all. We need a death rate update. That's all.
Do you want me to give you one? I'll dig it up.
Well, I know you will. I'm just saying you're a little... I mean, you were...
What? Well, I mean, what's wrong? All I said was, yes, I talked about the fact that remdesivir has been okayed, and there was a 25% increase. The shelf life for hospitalizations and the total fight from 15 days has been cut to 11 with remdesivir. You've got a vaccine that they believe could be ready as early as January. There's a possibility now that they think that January is the... They had talked about September. Now they think it's more like January. I mean, there's some positive stuff going on. I mean, it is what it's going on right now. I mean, coronavirus is not a made-up thing, unless you guys are in the denier category that this is a hoax. But, I mean, that's a real thing. There are really people dying and getting sick. That's really happening. At the rate, what's the mortality rate? I don't know. I don't want to be one. I don't want anyone that I love or know to be one. I know that much. I want to be safe.
Yeah.
I don't think strip clubs are restaurants. I'm not stupid like you guys apparently are. Now all of a sudden,
it wasn't
like,
a restaurant. Now it is.
I need a Yelp review on this restaurant, Onyx.
Right. The doc says wearing a mask is game changing. Your risk if you have, even with asthma, is zero when you're
wearing
a mask.
Yeah, these are the same people. I like how they were telling us masks are not good, dude. Masks are not good.
No, masks are.
And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, masks are.
Well, this is a doctor. I don't know who everyone that you're talking about is.
No,
this is a doctor.
What are you talking about? It was doctors previously were like, don't wear masks and don't wear gloves. Now it's don't wear gloves, but masks are okay. And I always thought, why in the world would you not? Why would anyone think a mask isn't going to help if it covers your nose and
well,
mouth?
But it's got to cover. But I think you need glasses along with it.
Put the glasses on. That ain't hard.
I saw a video virtual of someone coughing, and it was a virtual deal of someone coughing in an airplane, and how the droplets from that cough infected like a bunch of people on the airplane. So that, you know, even and by the way, yeah, even if there's no person in the middle seat, other people
yeah,
will
that's
catch
still,
it.
Yeah, the middle seat thing doesn't seem like it's going to be quite enough.
I was talking to did you see that? Well, it's kind of opening. Free, what is it called? Free zone, free the poker room. Gosh, it's in Katy. Free rolls is kind of opening. They sent out a thing. Fred was talking about it yesterday, and it's kind of opening. They're having some kind of a sponsored deal. I don't think it's opening for real. But I called Brent over at over Prime, and I said, "So what's the plan and whatnot?" And they're mulling over, you know, how many people that they're going to have at the tables. And he says, "You know, I don't know whether or not the people are, you know, how they're going to respond." And he said, "But we live in a new world. You know, there's a lot of poker games that you ever play six max, Lance?
Mm-mm.
You play
what's
six
that?
Six max is you can play tournament or cash, and it's six max at a table." So it's a different kind of game because they're, you know,
I played
hands.
It without knowing it. Yeah, I have played
Six
Max online. I played it online.
Yeah. You've played with six people. You played with three people. You played,
I prefer six people, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, lesser hands are apt to win because there's fewer cards on the table and blah, blah, blah. Whatever the case may be. But, you know, I think that just like everything else, there's got to be some separation between people. They're going to have to be, if we get back to getting masks at the table when everybody has to wear a mask. Everybody separates with only, as opposed to 10 people at a table, you can only have 6 people at the table, plus the dealer makes 7. So it's as opposed to 11 people, there's some more separation there. It's a new world that we're going to have to live in. And oh well. I mean, that's it, either that or, I mean, I played in a tournament last night, online tournament. And, that's what you're just going to have to do. If you don't want to be around people ever again, are you on any of the poker rooms now that your draft is done?
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. You've got to make sure that you are in a place like you can't just tell. Number one, it's also technically not legal, technically, in the state of Texas. So keep that in mind. Number two, you got to make sure that you can actually get paid from any of those places.
Well, I mean, we do a home game. We got just it's a bunch of us that play together anyway, and now we're just all in a poker. We're on Poker Stars, and we've got a home game, but nobody mentions any money or whatnot. But then you Venmo
That's phenomenal to have something like that. By the way, McCool was listening from Belize. He said, "Tell Granado to stop scaring people about air travel." All air travel to Belize is 100% safe, by the way. I am not biased. My man McCool is – I feel bad for them because that whole island is sustained through tourism, and they are it's major, major issues.
Well, McCool, how about if we come down and we do the show from there, which just so we can stay away from people?
He's like, "You guys bringing a bunch of cash? You bringing a sack full of cash?" Because they can't even keep the restaurants not. The restaurant's open, but there's very few.
Well, if they had better entertainers, wouldn't they be open, though? Yes.
I don't think that's going to help unless you get tourists in. That's what I really am
worried
about.
Don't you think
people
would flock there if they had better entertainment in their restaurants, like the Onyx? Yeah.
You have to check those travel restrictions. Don't think anyone's allowed to fly right now to different countries.
So you still can't. Oh, that's a problem, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying.
It's a major.
You can't
come in from other countries to the U.S.?
No, they can't make it back here. They can't get back to Houston. Yeah, that's
all right.
What I'm
saying. We could do the show for months from Belize. What's the problem?
Well, I guess there's no problem. I don't actually. Their restaurant's still open for people who are on Belize. They just, you can't staff. You can't keep a staff on board. They were trying to pay their people as long as they possibly could, and it's difficult when you have very little revenue coming in because there's just nobody come there. It's a tourist, like Cabo. I wonder how any of these places, Cabo or Belize. I don't know, whatever. I never went to Cabo. I've been to Belize, but those places run on. I would think Jamaica is really getting hit hard too. Any of these places that are heavy. Hawaii, I would think, is hit hard. And on top of that, you know what else is big for Belize? Is the cruise lines. Well,
yeah, I ain't doing that.
I don't think I'm ever doing
that again. I mean, you get every single time you get stuck and quarantined on a cruise. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. There is zero chance I'm getting on a cruise line that maybe ever again. Good Lord, that is terrible. Now, sorry about that, Belize. I'm sorry about that, but you're not getting me on that. I'll come, McCool. We'll come and stay at your place, that's for sure.
Here's
but
a not, good number, by the way.
Not, a, Harris, not, a, not off a cruise ship.
Harris County, 11 deaths only right now. That's low. That's way lower than I would have thought.
Yeah, 11 deaths. Yeah, I know. And that's been
now,
at 11.
Now, this is a Johns Hopkins.
Been at 11 for a while now, too.
Well, hopefully this is not old. No, it says 330.
That's March 30th.
I think
it's a month ago.
That's
a month ago.
Oh.
Yeah. We've already hit 430.
Well, update your map, Johns Hopkins.
No.
This says last updated 4:30.
Oh, 4:30. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe this is. It says confirmed cases. Does this sound right? 6,356. Does that sound right for Harris, specifically Harris County? Deaths 114. Does that sound right?
Deaths for Harris County are how many?
Oh, I'm looking at, well, some numbers.
Oh, did I say 11?
Yeah, you said 11.
Oh, it looks like I was all over.
Wrong? I thought you were a numbers guy.
Yeah, not so
much. I typically am.
Huh. Not so much.
I typically am.
If you just type in Harris County deaths coronavirus, Google has their numbers up. I don't know what the date. I think this is as of April 28th. Harris County just under 5,830 confirmed cases and 98 deaths.
Okay, it says 114. So the new number, that's what it is. The new number is 114. So,
oh my.
You wanted these numbers, John. Now he's giving them to you.
Well, no.
Is that good? Is that? I feel like that's better than I expected, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No. Hey, it's not fine for any numbers are not good, but we're doing okay. We're doing okay. And you know what? I just want to stop bringing the Onyx man down. That's all. That's all I'm saying. 713-780-3776. The Onyx man. That's right. We got an Isaiah versus Michael Jordan update coming your way next. Right now, though, I got givemethevin.com.
Oh, by the way, we're not going to like this new Jordan. Have you seen what the doc is going to be about also?
Jordan has said he's not going to be well liked after this one.
Well, no, but Clyde Drexler catches it now where he talks about, did you see that?
I saw that, yeah.
Oh, that was painful as a Clyde fan.
Yeah. So I want to talk right now, you know what else is painful if you've got a car payment that you just can't handle right now and you need to sell your car. And John Clay Wolf says, listen, it's down. The market is down, but I'm still giving the most. I'm still paying more than everybody else for your car, even though you just got to expect it. You got to go into this thing that you have to sell your car. You got to go into it knowing that the market is down. That's just how it is. But here's the deal. Where are you going to get the most? That's the important thing. Because if you have to get out of this vehicle right now, John Clay Wolf is here for you. John Clay Wolf says, go to givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com. And he is ready to buy your car for more than what anyone else will buy it for. And there's a lot of places that aren't even open anymore. There's a lot of people, these guys going to go out of business. John Clay Wolf ain't going out. He's staying open. He's still open, and he's here for you at givemethevin.com. You need to sell your car? Go to givemethevin.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. So Isaiah Thomas, man, he caught it. He was a little surprised that Mike called him an a-hole in the documentary. For not shaking hands.
Yeah, I'm very surprised Michael would do that too. Sign Hall of Fame speech.
Right. What did Horace Grant call them? Straight up bitches? For not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was surprised by that. Isaiah said, I don't have anything against him. And I definitely admire him as a basketball player. But when you put Jordan and his basketball team in the 80s, they weren't a very successful team. They just weren't. When you talk about Jordan and his team dominating, they dominated the 90s. But when you put him in with those Lakers teams and those Pistons teams and those Celtics teams, they all beat him. They just did. What separated Jordan from all of us was he was the first one to three-peat. But he didn't three-peat against Magic, Larry, and Dr. J. Now, in all fairness, Magic was at the end in 91 when Michael started winning. Larry was done as well. His back was so bad in the 92 Olympics that it was he had to sit most of it. And Dr. J was about 80 years old when Michael started winning his championships. And so, I mean, yeah. I mean, Jordan couldn't have done it against Julius Erving. He's 13 years younger than Dr. J.
Julius Erving didn't have a bunch of titles. Julius Erving, some of his best years were in the ABA, so it's irrelevant.
No. Yeah, Dr. J won one in 83, and he wasn't even the main cog. I mean, that was a pretty good – that was Moses Malone and Andrew Toney and who was the tall white guy coming off the bench, the sixth man of the year – oh, God, what was his name? Anyway, so they...
Bobby Jones.
I mean, that was a really, really good team, but Dr. J was just a piece of it. And that was old Doc.
Yeah,
in
Doc 83. Was older, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, I mean, come on, Isaiah. He says he was the fourth best player. Here's his list of the five best players he competed against. Kareem, Larry, Magic, Michael, and Julius Erving. Okay. I mean, okay. Because, well, for the most part, Isaiah was. I could see that because Michael's teams weren't as good in the 80s.
Michael's teams didn't reach their pinnacle until after Showtime Lakers and the Celtics were coming to an end.
Yeah, we're done. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, at their peaks, because they were at their peaks in the 80s, I could certainly understand where he'd feel. He might feel that way. I sense just a little bitterness towards Mike. First of all, he didn't get on the Olympic team, allegedly because of Mike. Mike says that's not true, but allegedly. Mike says he didn't talk to anyone, to Rod Thorne, about not putting Isaiah on.
Come on. Yeah. We know the deal. By the way, we haven't talked about
Rod Thorne was a Bulls guy anyway. Maybe Rod Thorne did it on his own.
Here's what Bill Laimbeer said after last Sunday's Last Dance documentary. He said, he talked about the fact that he does not regret it for one second about not shaking hands. I was about winning basketball games and winning championships and did whatever I had to get the most out of my ability and our team, and we did. At the end of the day, we're called world champs. Why would I regret it now today? I don't care what the media says about me. I never did. If I did, I'd be a basket case, especially back then. He called the Bulls whiners. And then he said this, they whined and cried for a year and a half about how bad we were for the game. But more importantly, they said we were bad people. And I think this is what sticks in the Pistons. He said, we weren't bad people. We were just basketball players winning. And that really stuck with me because they didn't know who we were or what we were about as individuals or our family life. But all the whining they did, I didn't want to shake their hand. They were just whiners. They won the series. Give them credit. We got old, and they got passes. But, okay, move on. He's also gone on to say LeBron is better than Jordan. But I think one of the things that won't be said on the doc, and one of the things that is probably not going to be said publicly, is that it probably – Jordan kind of developed a reputation off the court. And I think probably some of those Bulls guys and some of the guys who played during that era think Mike in the saint that you guys think he is. I like how you guys are. And I don't know that anyone thinks Mike is a saint, but I think there's probably some, hey, Mike's not some great guy. You guys deify Michael Jordan as a great guy. Michael Jordan is not a great guy. We're better family men and all that stuff. You can almost hear it. Our families and yada yada from Bill. And would that surprise you, John, if some of the guys in the NBA are like, if Michael Jordan were alive during the social media era, he would have, you know, he would not have been the same dude because people would have outed him for some of the stuff he did.
Oh, yeah. No. Let's face it. We would be talking about him. I think, I don't know, maybe not like LeBron. I don't know. But Mike was very, very proud. Mike was... Yeah, I'm surprised. Well, listen, we're getting a look at Mike that we never got because Mike wouldn't let this out until he found the right guy, the guy who did the Allen Iverson doc, you know, and he liked him. This would not be out to this day because we wouldn't know because Mike wouldn't let it out. No, we wouldn't like. And guys would be snitches too. I mean, Dennis Hopson would have been whining all over Twitter about what Mike did to him.
Oh, 100%. Dennis Hopson. I forgot about him.
Yeah. oh, the ball to the face. Didn't Steve Kerr catch a ball to the face too? Scott Burrell, all of them. They would have all caught. They would have all been like, man, that dude. You do not want to be around him.
As soon as somebody got traded from the Bulls, they would have immediately gone to social media on Twitter and like, yeah, I don't know, the subtweeting would have began.
Tony Kukoc? Oh my goodness. It would have been like, poor Tony. He'd be the Kevin Love. Tony Kukoc would be Kevin Love today.
But similarly, if James had played back in the 80s and 90s, no one would. I'm telling you, he might have been like Clyde Frazier. Now the basketball issues are still, you know, the same. They still follow you. Whatever your basketball issues are, that doesn't change. That, now, would they have been dissected on 24-Hour Sports Talk? No, because that didn't exist. Well, it existed. Yeah, that's not true. It existed. 24-Hour Sports Talk, a lot of it started in the early to mid-90s. That started more. And so Jordan's run was still, he was still in the middle of his run. But you know, you didn't have the 24-Hour ESPN wasn't that way. You didn't have all the opinion shows.
It was a lot softer than it is today, too.
Yeah, you didn't have the opinion shows. You didn't have as many hot takes. And the hot takes were limited to sports talk shows from hosts and also for callers, because we used to get a ton of calls back in the day before Twitter and things like that. I think James would have been looked at a little more I don't know what the graciously, friendly, lovingly, I don't know, but I think James would not have caught it as badly had he played in the era that Jordan played in, for example. If he played mid 80s all the way through the late 90s, that was a time where James would have just been considered a great scorer who came up short, but there wouldn't have been as much, like James wouldn't have put his business out there. We wouldn't know about and sometimes people put James's business out there, to be fair. We wouldn't know about all the club stuff. We wouldn't see it.
Was James at the Onyx last night eating dinner?
No. Could James have at his own? At some point, has he violated the shelter at home? Or has James violated social distancing? It's possible.
Well, are you kidding? There's more people smashing now than ever. What are you talking about, violated? I mean, that's not a
more
violation. You know what it is?
Wait. You think there's more going on than ever?
It's a fact, Lance. There's more. They run out of condoms. What are you talking about?
Well, but
it's a fact.
From people in home, I'm talking about. Do you think Tinder's hotter than ever?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Those are the non-relationship hookups.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about.
Do you think James needs Tinder to get a non-relationship hookup?
No, but you're talking about. I don't consider that the same as like. Oh, look, I need condoms for this person that I'm going to be in my house with for multiple months or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. Just, you know what? The only reason we know about that soccer player that had a threesome or foursome with the girls is because he's famous. That's going on all over. People have time on their hands. They're smashing, strange smashing going on.
I don't think it's as probably as widespread as when there's not a pandemic. But yeah, of course that's still going to go on. What sex drive goes in neutral during a pandemic? No. Come on.
No. It actually gets when you got time. What is it? Time is the devil's workshop or something. I don't know.
Devil's hands are idle workshops.
Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Right.
A stitch in time. Devil's milk.
Guess what everybody's got? Idle time. So they're either playing poker or smashing. Okay.
By the way, so McCool wanted you guys to know that they've changed they're changing the name from Blue Water Grill to Blue Water Girls, and they're gonna have naked sushi.
Naked sushi when they come back.
They're trying to get people to come back down. So once it opens up for international travel, we need to just pick and choose our international travel. We just need to be like, what are we looking like here? Belize, you're low? Because Belize is scared because they don't have any kind of a medical, you know what I mean? They don't have hospitals for that. They cannot. Their lockdown is from, 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. And on Sundays, you're not allowed to go outside at all. No one's allowed to be outside at all. Not just sheltered up. Children are never allowed to leave the house, ever. Their lockdown is super duper strict.
Where is this?
In Belize.
Oh my
Children
gosh.
Cannot leave the home. The adults are not, you can't leave the home on a Sunday. You can go to work from, I think it's 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. It might be 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. where you're not allowed outside at all, because they don't have hospitals. They don't have the hospital capacity, the beds, the ventilators. They don't have any of that stuff.
Right.
Not like they need. So they have to lock it completely down so they don't have a widespread problem with it. So that's what concerns me about the island, the different islands that rely on a lot of tourism. They're going to be tough, because it's not like they have major hospitals with medical, you know, it's just not realistic, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776.
I'd go down there for 2 weeks. We could go chill out down there with no problem.
Yeah, but yeah. It's just
except we can't fly there.
No, you can't fly there and you can't get back. But I think, you know, your kids,
might enjoy
that you couldn't get back.
I might enjoy sending them there. How about that?
Oh, how'd you like
cast
that?
Me outside.
How would that taste? Cool.
Cast me outside, kids. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Your work, home, and work from home sports station. ESPN 97.5.
Please stay home. Please stay home. It's okay to be alone.
Just do it.
Black leather glove, no sequins. Buckles on the jacket, it's elite. Nike crossbody, got a piece in it. Got a dance, but it's really on some street. I'ma show you how to get it.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 975-713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, to come hang with us. And like Lance said, you know, we used to get calls all the time. We used to have guys, Larry, all the people that were actually, John Lance. It was Collie.
We did our fifth year anniversary. The fifth anniversary show that we did when Slapfest 2 jumped off, we had a party bus with just kind of famous callers.
Yeah.
Who were on that. Dimebag Mike didn't make it on that one, but Cowboy Bill. It was a lot different time where callers called in, and now it's just more people catching
now
on.
Now it's just the only character we have left is Gilbert.
That's a character?
Well, I mean, character in the sense of, you know, some personality.
Yeah, that's a way to describe Gilbert.
Who was it that used to? He was just Padres fan and
Jason. That's Jason from
Jason.
Waco.
Jason.
And
yeah.
Here's another thing. I want to know. Do you know that I got fired from my job? Why'd you get fired, Jason? I was a valet parker, and I can't believe it or not, I was a valet parker, and I also actually had a wreck, and they blamed me for it when there was a car parked somewhere where I'm supposed to be a car, and I crashed a car, and I got fired from my job. Like, yeah, that's going to happen if you're a valet parker. Your one job, as Bill Belichick would say, you had one job, and your job was just to park these cars, not to crash them. Yeah, but also, that's the thing. I only believe in the coronavirus. If you wear a mask, people, you got to wear a mask. You got to wear gloves, people. You got to do that or you get coronavirus. They have wrestling is available right now, and they're not wearing masks. So that's the thing. I don't think you have to wear a mask. They should play baseball just like wrestlers should play baseball. Listen to me. Like Jason would come up with something.
No.
If they have wrestlers who clearly do not have coronavirus, you have wrestlers playing baseball, you could get a whole season in. Like, yeah, but they're not baseball players, Jason. Doesn't matter. Do you love the country or not? Yeah, but I don't see what that has to do with anything.
No, that's Jason. He was a character. Yeah, we don't have – you know what?
I think he's still alive.
Brad and Spring Branch. And it was – oh, what about Larry?
Yeah, we had lunatics calling the show.
Oh, the one
Larry's still around every once in a while, yeah.
No, not Larry Stafford.
No. Larry fights with Jason. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, the Cowboys fan.
Yeah, yeah.
He pops up on my Facebook.
Does he? I mean, he would – what he would do a Jim Rome – he would do his call like Jim – like he was calling the Jim Rome show. It was just so bad. It was hilarious. It was actually good. Now we just got Gilbert. That's it. Gilbert and David every once in a while does his voice. Hi guys, that one, yeah, that's that, and that's about it. Oh, and OU Mike, who always has something
racial. Is
that
a character?
I'm not sure if that's a character. The OU Mike thing, I'm not sure.
Dell, you're gonna check out Banda MS and Snoop Dogg. They've got the new single where you got the little. I don't know if Banda is not gonna be a cumbia, but we've got a Latin music, a Latin horn section, like a classical. You know, Mexican banda music, it's going to have, they've got, I don't know, looks like about 14 different horns in this band, and Snoop are doing something. And because we're in the middle of a pandemic, this is major, major news today.
No, it isn't.
Yes.
And the answer is no, I'm not going to check it out.
What?
No. Snoop hasn't been relevant musically in how many years now? Why would I care that Snoop has music out?
Because he's doing cross-genre music.
Makes me even less interested.
Cross-genre music.
The answer is no.
Show some respect.
Why didn't you ask me if I was going to?
I feel a little weird about you asking me that question and not John. John actually speaks Spanish. Why didn't you ask him?
But I don't think John listens to a lot of different music. John has even said in the past he's not a big music guy.
Yeah, I'm a big mumble something, right? Something. Larry Bird chimed in, said, I didn't shake hands when we lost to the Lakers. I never shook hands. When the Lakers and Celtics played, we didn't shake hands. When we first got to play against Magic, there was a hate factor there. It was more than just dislike. I didn't shake hands. You know what? You know what? That was a different time. That was. Except Isaiah and Magic started something that was really, I was like, what? They're kissing each other before the game. That was and in the NBA where you hate each other, that Isaiah and Magic were making up before the game was a little. It changed the league because now all of a sudden you were friends. No, again, this was a time when
John.
When,
do you remember what happened in that series?
The Lakers and Celtics didn't like each other. You know the Steelers and Oilers didn't like each other.
The Lakers and Pistons didn't like each other. The Magic series where you're talking about all that, you don't remember what happened in that series? Isaiah got his eye split open. He got elbowed in the paint and had to have stitches.
No, I know, but we didn't see guys kissing each other on the cheek before the game.
I don't think we saw that after 1990 either. Or 89. Was it 89? I think it was 89. I don't remember seeing a bunch of kissing on the cheek and friendly stuff in the 90s.
Well, now guys are all, you know, they come up in AAU. You know, listen, they literally, and Larry Bird just said it, and they literally did not, not only didn't they like each other, they hated each other. Now, there's very little of that today. There's very little of that today.
Correct.
There's some guys, because Draymond or whatever, you know, the Steelers, I think, still have the Steelers and Ravens might still have a strong dislike, or the Steelers and Bengals have issues. Well, because of Vontaze Perfect, but he's gone now. But it's rare. It's rare. Then it just seemed like everybody hated everybody. If you were on the other team, we were not friends.
Yeah, it was pretty simple back in the day.
Yeah.
It was very simple. Not on every team, but a lot of times on the very best teams, that's the case. You didn't have as much player movement, so you got kind of locked in with your team in terms of, I think the big part is the AAU circuit. Everyone knows everyone because these kids are playing a lot of times by fifth and sixth grade. They're already on travel teams, and there's already rankings for players. And so a lot of these guys do know each other. They do develop friendships. Back in the day, you might have beef because you played at college. And remember, it was three-year college for the most part. It was not – Isaiah was the only two-year college guy I knew. Jordan was three. Dream was three. Clyde was three. Pat Ewing was four. Tim Duncan was four. But if you had, like, there was some beef that carried over from Big East. There was still some Big East beef that would carry over sometimes. And, you know, college beef that would carry over. So you got to know and not like guys in college. And then, you know, it could also carry over or start brand new in the pros, where as soon as you got on a team, you were told early on, no, that's – we hate them. Oh, we hate them? Yeah, we hate them. So you are born into it in the NBA. You find out who you're supposed to hate.
Yeah. No. You hate,
but it's fun hated. For – look, rivalries are good. Rivalries are very good for sports.
You always hated the Jazz. Always.
Yeah, I don't like friendly – the friendly pickup game element of basketball is not really – if it's not there, you don't know that you're missing it. But when you have a really heated rivalry where two teams don't like each other, trust me, you have to trust me. You guys have seen it. I think that's good for basketball. I think it's good for sports when you have the hated, because the fans get into it, the players get into it. The Yankees and Red Sox thing, the thing that they had going on for a while, that's good for sport. It's really good for sport. I don't think it's a bad thing for LeBron to have a rival. I don't know who his... Like, who hates the Lakers right now? Is there a team that hates the Lakers? A, it's hard to, because teams and players flip-flop so much now that you just you have a hard time really hanging on to the provincial hatred of someone else in your quote-unquote division. Divisions don't matter that much anymore in basketball. Remember when divisions mattered? They don't matter. Divisions are irrelevant.
No. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776, 843 is the time. I want to talk about, do you want to promote something for the other side?
Yeah, we got coming up at a little after 9. If you've seen the video of, we talked about it yesterday, the fast pitch softball pitcher, right. And then the guy who goes yard on her at what looks like some kind of townhomes or something like that, and then he, you know, one person is pitching from their garage, and the other one has. And what looks like it's not a regular – I don't know that it's a regulation softball or anything like that. Anyway, the guy goes yard on his wife, does a bat flip, and then she goes yard on him. He's throwing overhand, and she goes yard on him, and she does just this massive, savage – it's not even a bat flip. It's a bat throw. And we found out they're here in Houston. One of the guy is with, what is it, the Mets organization, the A's or the Mets. And then she played college softball at Texas A&M, and is part of the Scrapyard Dogs, I believe, out in the Woodlands. And so they're going to we'll have them on sometime in the 9
A's prospect.
Hour.
He's with the A's.
A's prospect, yeah.
Noah Vaughn.
We'll have them coming on in the 9 o'clock hour and talk about what that was like going viral, and just have some fun with them coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah. And Riley Sartain, which we started yesterday. I mentioned I want to buy stock in their kids, and then we started buying stock in kids.
Oh, yeah, we started doing Sell Us Your Kids.
Yeah, Sell Us Your Kid. SellUsYourKid.com. So easy, you can do it in your underwear. Hey, if you want to buy a car right now, it's so easy, you can do it from home and not have to worry about a thing. That's right. It's simple, because ChastainFord.com is where you will get a virtual tour of the car. They will, you can buy it all online, which a lot of places you can't do because they have to upsell you. Well, that's not the case at Chastain Ford. You've always been able to buy online. So this is no different than how they've always been. If you're looking for a great way to buy that vehicle, and it's just ridiculous. Oh, by the way, Patrick texted me yesterday. He goes, oh, right now we're delivering a car to a 97.5 listener. Way to go. Yes, you people, you're hearing it, you're listening. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for that Chastain car or truck, this is the time. You got to get out of the payments that you're in now. Okay, we've talked about this. Can't afford the payments? Well, the first thing that they're going to ask you at Chastain Ford is, where do you have to be? Where do your payments have to be? How about starting with no payments for 6 months? So that will help you get out of this deal right there. Secondly, no interest for 84 months. Third, nothing down. I mean, it is just ridiculous right now. They're bending over backwards. They're going to put you in that Ford car or truck that you want to have. And, oh, by the way, they got the used cars there as well. They'll sanitize it, bring it to you. And if you need service, they'll do that as well. Pick it up, sanitize it, and bring it back. Well, and fix it. and sanitize it and bring it back. All at ChastainFord.com. Two exits east of 59 on 610. Homestead, not Hempstead. 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Let's get some calls in here before Overheel joins us at the top of the hour. And then Riley Sartain Vaughn and Noah Vaughn going to join us here on the show at about 9:15. But Biscuit is here with us now. What do you say, Biscuit?
Hey, top of the morning.
What's up, Biscuit?
First, man, what's up, man? Let me make a PSA, man, to all your essential workers out there, man. It's starting to be traffic on the freeway, man. I'm trying to get to work on time. I got used to that 15-minute commute, man, with nobody being on the freeway. Oh, the governor and opening up, man. There's people out here today, man.
Oh, yeah, it's starting to – we've been noticing a difference, too.
Oh, yeah.
For at least
really
a week and a half.
Today, yeah. it's really a difference today. You guys talking about robberies. Me, the one division in sports is still a robbery, man. I'm telling you, it's the NFC East, man. We still hate each other. And the Cowboys, the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Giants, there's real hatred there.
Yeah,
you
I do like
a robbery division.
Yeah, I do like that. That is a rivalry because those – I mean, those things are ingrained. Washington and Dallas, Washington and Philadelphia, the Giants and the Cowboys. Like, that is a true equal opportunity entry going on in that division.
Man, but I wanted to get to the Onyx thing, man. I heard y'all talked about it earlier, man. I was just, you know, I was listening on the radio in last night from work and heard them saying that Onyx was opening up at 1201. And I was like, wow, they serve ribs there now, or, you know, T-bones? I was trying to figure out how they was working it out. I hadn't been there in a while, so I didn't know, Lance. You know, I was like, okay, maybe they serve no birds there or something, you know, wings or something.
Yeah, but, it's a restaurant now.
No, it's a restaurant. You got to go.
It was a restaurant. what was that old line from the Robert Townsend movie with? Hoes got to eat too. Okay.
Hoe cakes. Yeah. Hoes got to eat too. The great John Withers, Witherspoon.
Yeah, that's a classic line.
Hoe cakes. Yeah. Oh, man. I can't believe you brought that movie up. What was that? Hollywood Shuffle is one of my. Robert Townsend understood that the comedic. I recommend. I don't know if it would hold up to this day. I don't know if people would still find it as funny. But Robert Townsend was one of the very first black comedians who kind of crossed over and then brought some of the same. Like, they had an episode on one of his TV shows on HBO. I can't do it justice here because there's cussing on it. But you can find it. You can find it on YouTube. Go find some of the stuff from Hollywood Shuffle. It's really, I think, a very funny movie to this day. And then from there, what came out of that was all the Wayans Brothers stuff came out of that. And then it took off, and then you had a lot of stuff take off from there.
Biscuit, we appreciate it. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I'm watching Riley and Noah go at it on the driveway. That's just good stuff. They say, and there's an article already about them. They say they play Monopoly, and they are ultra competitive with each other, and they rain down the money on top of each other when you win. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's not fun being the loser. Not fun being losing at anything. And she took him deep. Now, he's a lefty. That doesn't say what he plays. We'll find out.
Well, he missed inside with the pitch anyway, and she just turned
it
on
was
it
down,
and just
though.
Yacked it.
The pitch was
down and in,
down,
but
though.
You can't throw inside to her and miss. That's no, she that's her hot zone is down and in.
So Dell, we got some Brandon Cook sound.
I can pull it. Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Brandon Cooks met with the media yesterday, and he was asked. And this is a, this is only one player has been traded more in the NFL, and that's Eric Dickerson. And since 1980, only one player has been traded more in the NFL than Brandon Cooks.
That's pretty incredible.
I know, right? And he says, the way I look at it, it's a positive, and I'm wanted. I'm valued at a high level still. You look at all the trades that were for a first-rounder, and this one going for a second-rounder. To be honest with you, I'm blessed to be able to go around and play with so many different teams and different quarterbacks and different organizations.
Yeah.
He sounds like I don't want to put this on him. I don't want to put Jack Easterby on him, but Jack Easterby, there's something that Jack Easterby liked about this guy. Apparently, they had a relationship together in New England where, you know, that they and Jack Easterby must have been had some kind of influence in getting Brandon Cooks here. So he's a good character guy. And you know what? If you want to know the truth, Bill O'Brien is trying to build a character organization. And there's really nothing wrong with that. It's getting rid of players that are really, really good and not getting value for them. The problem is this. And I think Lance and I did a video about the Texans being they're under over. And I forget which book. Their seven number wins right now are at 7.5. And the Titans and Colts are at 8.5. And I think it's a little disrespectful, if you want to know the truth, because the Texans win. The Texans have won the division for the last 5 years. Bet against Bill O'Brien. See how that works out for you. And you know what? I'm going to take you over on 7.5 wins this year. The problem with it is you're not a top end. You're not a top an upper echelon team in the league. You're a playoff team, but you're certainly not close to being an elite team. And the problem is getting rid of players. It's not getting rid of players that are good. It's getting rid of players and not getting the value that you should get back for them. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem I have. You know, I just think in you got to watch a sports map video we had. They're actually the sports map videos I think are pretty good content, pretty good questions that come up on there. Honestly, I feel like if you compare certain teams, like, so every team has, all right, you throw a half up there, 7.5, 8.5. I feel like if you go to 8.5, you don't do it at flat numbers 8 usually or 7. They say because they force you to make a choice. All right, we're going to make the over-under 7.5. Do you feel like they're more likely to go over or under? John, you would say over, obviously.
Over.
But if I set the number at 8.5, I feel like you'd have to weight the odds to the under. You'd have to go -140 or -150 on the under. And here's why. I think that there is, without DeAndre Hopkins, you've taken a major chunk out of there, and now you're reliant upon injury-prone or not as effect, clearly outside of their prime in Randall Cobb's case. He is beyond his prime, and then the other one is injury-prone in Brandon Cooks. And not to mention, you're just changing things up for Deshaun Watson. Now, it may not be a big deal. What we could see, if I argued the other side, is that Deshaun is at his best when he's not locking in on one target. And maybe this will be something that forces him to outside of his comfort zone, and maybe that will be a good thing for him. The flip side of that, though, is I don't see them as a lot better in the secondary. I don't really see how anything has changed there. I think the division has gotten a little bit tougher. With Philip Rivers as opposed to Jacoby Brissett, I think Rivers is going to be a little more dangerous over there. Titans, I think, are the best team in the division. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to think about the Jags because you can see some talent on their roster, but that's just a mess over there. But I feel like the Texans are closer to an 8-win team than a 9-win team.
Yeah, but 7.5 is 8 is over that. I listen, until the Texans show me different, you know, we predicted the demise of the Patriots for a while now, and it finally is happening, I think. But and it's because Tom Brady isn't there anymore.
But
a lot of their decisions are catching up. It's, you know what? If you look at it, if guys can stay healthy, this offense might be pretty damn good. We'll see. But it might be pretty damn good, especially and if he lets Timmy do his job, you know, which those are two big ifs. If they stay healthy and if he lets Timmy do his job, then they could be really, really good. Well, Well, you know, they might be able to outscore teams. I don't believe they're good defensively either. I think that they're going to be bad defensively, being a bottom third of the league defensively. But you know what they do? They win. They win. Under Bill O'Brien, they just win. So you got to give them some credit for that.
So let's get this straight. We got the Patriots. We count them out all the time. They keep finding ways. The Spurs, and the Texans.
Yeah, that's what we're comparing them to.
Is this the same? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. No. We got Raheel joining us on the other side, and still ahead, we'll talk to the bat flip couple. That's right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.